This week on The Art Beat, we meet Kentucky's Poet Laureate for 2017-2018.
Hello, I am Frederick Smock. I am Kentucky Poet Laureate and Professor of English at Bellarmine University in Louisville, Kentucky. I was always a reader, and for some people, when they start out reading early, they naturally gravitate to pen and paper and the putting down of ideas. One of my early influences was the Greenup County novelist Jesse Stewart. And I read all of his books. I would go to meet him whenever he had a new one out and came to Louisville to do a signing. And it personalized it for me. There was someone behind the books, and I began to understand that. In school, we were taught poetry, but I didn't like poetry in school. I didn't like the way that it was taught. But outside of school, I was writing it on my own and not really knowing what I was doing. You kind of back your way into these things. And I also had a couple of very influential teachers, both in high school and in college, that kind of set me on the path, told me what this thing was that I was doing, a little bit about what you can do with it, because, you know, as a beginning writer, you have no idea what it is, and then once you've written something, what do you do with it? There was a high school English teacher, Mrs. Billingsley, who was wonderful, and then at Georgetown College, I studied with a husband and wife team, Gwen and Ralph Curry, who were wonderful. And then in graduate school, my mentor was Sina Naslund, the novelist, and she now runs the MFA program at Spalding University. And Sina was really instrumental in bringing my poetry forward, and also by the example of her teaching, letting me know how a workshop works best. So she was an incredible influence and still is.
You're a professor as well, so you're teaching students. Are you teaching poetry, or are you teaching other subjects? What do you do?
Largely poetry, and I love being in the classroom. In fact, one of my favorite classes to teach is the Gen Ed literature requirement. Every student has to take 3 hours of literature, and in my class, I do modern American poetry. And, you know, these are kids, nursing students, baseball players, whatever, who, and I canvassed them on the first day, have often had a less than wonderful experience with poetry in high school. And they come in not really excited about the class. They have to be there. And I take a great deal of enjoyment in flipping the experience for them, getting them to like poetry, to get into it, to engage with it. My goal is to turn them into readers. And I also teach the creative writing classes here. Now, those can be any genre. So sometimes I step outside of poetry, but pretty much that's my bailiwick.
Do you think it's pretty much that you have to actively seek poetry out because it's not presented, certainly in general education, it's not presented in a way? And you mentioned that you didn't like the way it was taught. To you, do you find that there's any improvement in that, or is it pretty much the same as it's always been?
Because I'm not at the secondary level, I don't know if there's been improvement, although I know that there are some wonderful teachers out there, and some of my students have had a wonderful experience with poetry. The majority of them, not so much. And I remember when I was in high school, there was one teacher who kept asking us to find the hidden meaning of the poem. And I remember that being a very unpleasant experience. And what I eventually came to understand was that teacher was sitting on an interpretation, and she wanted us to guess what it was.
Mm.
Now, I don't know that it has any educational value whatsoever. And furthermore, you know, I think it can kill the creative impulse. You know, let's say that a student read the poem the night before and felt something, not that she could articulate it necessarily, but something happened, something moved in her. And the next day, the teacher asks her to find the hidden meaning, which pretty much invalidates her aesthetic experience of the night before because it wasn't hidden. So I like opening the process up and letting them talk, letting them tell me what the poem is to them, and let them run with it.
Do you find that your own poetry, you gain some experience in teaching the students? You find something in that process that helps you in your own poetry?
That's a good question, and hard to say. I certainly know that being a poet informs pretty much everything that I do in the classroom, and I get to teach it not from an academic angle or a scholarly angle, but from the artistic position and bring them into the process. So that guides me in my teaching. Does the teaching affect the poetry? I would say it has to. I don't know in any overt way, but certainly my experience from the classroom has to be a big influencer of what I do on the page, although I would be hard-pressed to draw hard lines between one and the other.
Do you have a particular place that you'd like to go when you write? Is there a maybe you could describe your perfect room?
My perfect room is my front porch. I live on the second floor of a duplex in the Cherokee Triangle neighborhood in Louisville. It's very green and leafy. And my porch, it's a large room. It's really the summer living room. And the porch is completely encircled by these pear trees that make it a very private place. But to sit outside, to be outside, to watch life going on in the street below me, and to have the trees around me, and of course, the vista is trees of the park. So it's a wonderful place just to sit and have a glass of wine. I often do a lot of writing on that porch.
Since you've been made Poet Laureate, how has your life changed?
I'm still figuring that out. I have to say, it's a kind of high that I'm writing. I was very pleased that the governor came and went to the ceremony and made the introduction and made it clear that he had read my work, and he said very insightful and generous things about it. So that meant a great deal to me. And to have friends and colleagues and students rally around, it's been lovely. And I like the way that it is allowing me to heighten people's awareness of poetry. And I'm looking forward to going about the state and representing not only the Kentucky Arts Council, but also Bellarmine University.
As you understand it, what are some of your responsibilities as Poet Laureate?
I've been advised by previous Poets Laureate to accept every invitation that comes my way, and I intend to do that. Readings, talks, participation in conference panels, etc. I also have been encouraged by the Arts Council to come up with a project. And my project is going to be to read a poem a day. My predecessor, Georgella Lyon, had a project called Where I'm From, which was one of her poems talking about her roots in Harlan County. And as she traveled about the state, she had people write their own Where I'm From poems. And it was a marvelous project, and I've seen a lot of them, and they're very moving. So Georgella went around the state getting people to write, and I'm going to go around the state getting people to read. And my idea is that as soon as we get this set up, that people will send in their favorite poems to the Arts Council, where we will compile it all on a database and then be able to share it with anyone who wants to log on. So a kind of body of poetry, a shared commonwealth of poetry, really.
How would you describe your poetry?
Short, for the most part. And that's one of the things I like about poetry, is that it's short. You get it in sort of the span of a page or less, and so you can take it in. A lot of my poetry derives from the natural world. I am a city boy, but I grew up, my formative years were spent outside the city. My father built a house on a hill in the countryside, and I spent those days, my coming-of-age days, roaming the fields and forests around our house. And in those days, children weren't fenced in. I could leave the morning and be gone all day long and just wander and lay my imagination over the landscape. And I think a lot of that stuck with me. And now I live in a leafy part of Louisville, right close to Cherokee Park. So I'm still connected to nature in that way. One of the things about poetry is that you cannot will a poem into being. You kind of take what comes to you. And often that begins with an image, a phrase. I'm wonderfully inspired by trees. I write a lot of trees and moon poems. And it first takes noticing them, and then turning that noticing into language, and then having the time and the leisure, really, to turn that language into something finer. So I guess brief nature poems would be as good a descriptor as any.
Do you start with a few lines and then work around that, or do you start with an idea, or is there an organic process to what you do?
There is an organic process. It typically doesn't take me very long. If I'm onto something, I'm usually done pretty quickly. It comes in a burst. I'll always revise a little bit, but the main thing is there pretty quickly. Also, when it doesn't work, I know pretty quickly that it doesn't work, and so I can give up on it. I honestly don't know where it comes from. There was a poet interviewed, and he was asked where poems come from. And he said, I don't know, but if I find out, I'm going to go there.
I love that.
Yeah, I do too. It's a mysterious process, how an image... I don't start with ideas, really. It's usually an image, a word picture of some kind that just comes to you, and then it turns into something, and you're a little surprised that you wrote it because it seems like a finished thing outside of yourself once it's done. So it's hard sometimes to even claim credit for them.
Do you have a piece of poetry that you could read as representative of your work?
I do. I think what I will read for you are a few... These are very short. These are just five-line poems. I suppose they take after the Japanese form of the tanka, which is a five-line, usually nature poem, with something of a surprise thrown in somewhere. This is from a manuscript that Larkspur Press is going to be publishing later on this year called Book of Earthly Delights. And each one of these short poems is just kind of a little... moment of its own. They're unconnected, but I think they share a kind of spirit. So maybe I'll read a short series of these poems. The sun wakes us, tiptoeing into our room, making no sound. We wake like flowers, turning before they know it toward the light. 2. The blossoming almond tree tells us there is only this day, and the sunlight through the leaves shows me your face when you were a child. 3. The window opens out an arm's length to gather up the world. The sun it gives to the desk, the moon it gives to the bed. 4. A star blows in from the provinces, day blind. I only know it is there in the sky by its shadow on the page. 5. And this is from a German word. I was looking at language from other languages with words for which there is no English equivalent. And there is a word in German that means the feeling of being alone in the woods, which I love that. So I stole it for this next little poem. 5. The cello is an old man who has seen many things. That is why his voice is low and sorrowful, the feeling of being alone in the woods. 6. Praise the blackberries that grow along the fence row, and praise the labor of their harvest. The labor gives it meaning. For this, you must also praise the thorns. And lastly, in this sequence, so much of what happens, or what comes to me as poetry, is... little incidental things that sometimes pair up in odd ways, and the poem arrives kind of finished already. Last year, my dog passed away. She was old, and I returned from the veterinarian's office and noticed that the pear trees in my front yard had bloomed all of a sudden. And that's where this poem came from, simply. The old dog has died, and the pear trees have suddenly blossomed. I hold these two things together in my mind. So sometimes poetry just writes itself.
Beautiful imagery. I'm thinking as you're reading, and it just strikes me the variety of poetry that's available, and there's so many different ways people can approach poetry in reading it and discovering it. You have to kind of seek out the thing that sings to you, I would think.
Yes. The talk in the sort of creative writing workshop circles is for the student to find his or her voice. And I would submit that you practice and practice, and eventually the voice finds you. And the voice changes over time. What I'm writing these days is, to my mind, nothing like what I wrote years ago. So it's a constantly evolving process. And one of the great things is to see students come up with their poems that you could never have imagined or foreseen, and nor could they. And yet, when they're doing splendid work, it's just, a gift from the gods.
An exciting conversation, Frederick. I really appreciate you taking the time. Is there anything else you could add that would encourage people to seek out on their own poetry, a way to get connected with it?
Absolutely. I see this with my students, where they're so busy, they're multitasking, they're plugged into numerous devices all the time, and they never feel like they have any time for themselves. And my encouragement to them is to take a few minutes, turn off the phone, log off the computer, don't turn on the television or radio, put your devices away, and spend a few minutes each day just reading a poem and sitting with it. Don't try to figure it out, don't write a paper on it, don't take a test on it, just read it, and then let that poem go with you through the day. And it will be a nice still point. Let your world revolve around that axis for a little bit, and I think it will send you off into the day in better spirits.
Frederick, thank you again for joining us. I hope that you'll come to Lexington and visit.
Thank you, Joe. I certainly will. I love Lexington, and I look forward to coming there and meeting with you in person.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
I'm Joe Conkright for WUKY.